Exodus chapter 18, our portion this morning, it's verses 1 through 12. These are the words of God. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that Yahweh had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whom the name of one was Gershom, for he had said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the mountain of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down, and kissed him. And they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that Yahweh had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how Yahweh had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the good which Yahweh had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be Yahweh, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Yahweh is greater than all the gods, for the very thing in which they had behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. There's a handoff that is taking place here in Exodus 18. In particular, but into 19 and 20 and in the rest of the book. Israel is about to come to Sinai. They will have the moral law of God summarized there in 10 words and written by the finger of God in stone. And God will also give instruction for the tabernacle and for the priesthood and the ordination of Aaron and his sons into the priesthood that belongs to the Sinai covenant. That'll all take place. And it'll start at the end of this chapter. In the third month, the first verse of chapter 19 is, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. This has all been very rapid. Because of Israel's disobedience when they depart from Sinai, and the fact that they end up spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness, I think we tend to have the impression that this has all been long and drawn out. But it's only been 3 months to the day from the Exodus to coming to the Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. And so this is a transition. One of the parts of the transition is that there is a new priesthood with new rules that govern the worship of God. This is something that happens especially, of course, in Jesus' new priesthood, which is what the book of Hebrews is about how Jesus being the forever high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, the rules for God's worship that belonged exclusively to the Sinai covenant and to the time of Aaron and his sons being priest, that those rules were ended and that there was a new rule of worship in coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why one of the places we see much about the Lord's Day and baptism and the Lord's Supper and the assembly of the church on the Lord's Day, and what preaching in worship is, and what singing in worship is, and what prayer is, that you have all that in the book of Hebrews, because there was a change of priesthood, there's a change in church, the Sinai church had been ended by God, especially at the tearing of the curtain of the temple, top to bottom, and would be even more finally so in the final destruction of the temple in 70 AD, which would take place shortly after the book of Hebrews. But new era, new priest Jesus, new rules of worshiping. Well, up until this time, you had God in the times of the fathers. He's the one who had started the sacrifice. Remember, on the day that Adam and Eve fell and he expelled them from the garden, he had killed animals in order to clothe them. And then we see that Abel offered sacrifices by faith, not just that you can come and do whatever you want by faith, but that faith follows what God says and what God does. And so Abel, in part, offered sacrifices by faith by virtue of the fact that he was offering what God had sacrificed. He was imitating God. Cain should have taken the first fruits, the best of the fruits of his crop farming, and used them to buy himself a blemishless lamb from his brother, the lamb farmer, the animal farmer, in order to offer sacrifices by faith. But Cain, of course, was coming in the flesh. And we see this sacrificing by families unto God, by individuals and families unto God, all the way throughout the time of Abraham, which connects us directly to Exodus 18. How is it that Jethro is a priest of Yahweh? He's not saying in verse 11, I was on the fence until now, but now that Yahweh has humiliated all the gods of Egypt, I think I'll go with him. No, he's rejoicing that the God of whom he is a priest is the one who's just devastated all of the demonic figments of the Egyptian imaginations. This is why, by the way, it was safe for Moses during the time of engaging Pharaoh and the Exodus and all of that to send his wife and two sons back to Jethro. In fact, it probably wasn't so much safety for them from Pharaoh and Egypt, but safety for them from Moses and Yahweh that he had sent Zipporah, Gershom, and Eliezer back to Jethro's house. Because the last time we saw the family together was when the Lord almost killed Moses for having failed to circumcise one of his children. And since the Bible doesn't tell us anything about Zipporah and the boys from then until Exodus 18, it is wisest to draw any conclusions. It's wisest not to draw any conclusions that aren't substantiated from the text. But it's wisest to, if we're going to think about it, to say, he almost got executed for not honoring the covenant in his household. It's probably not the case that he said, okay, I hereby abdicate my responsibility as a father and send them back to a pagan house. No, it was precisely because he was going to be so preoccupied with his new calling to lead Israel out of Egypt that it was safe in Grandpa's covenantal house. Now, Jethro has been a priest. He was a priest of Midian before, when we heard his other name, Reuel. The reason he's a priest of Yahweh is because Midian was a son of Keturah. And Keturah was a wife, a lesser wife, after the death of Sarah. Abraham married her. Lesser, we say, because she was not the mother of the covenant people from whom would come the Christ. And in fact, Genesis uses at one point the name concubine, or the title concubine, for Keturah. But Midian was born to Abraham by Keturah in his old age after Sarah had died. He would have been instructed by Abraham in Abraham's most mature faith in his old, in his elderly days, where he was not like Isaac, who had drifted further and further from God as he got older, which we know now from the Bible. can happen to believers. And we heard recently about Solomon having a great time of wandering in his old age. So Abraham, having walked with God and seen the promises kept and clung to God by faith and excited for the fact that God would bring the Christ through Isaac. He was generous with all of his boys, but he gave the bulk to Isaac, you remember. All of these things. In that season of his life, Midian had become his son. This is a godly family that knows the promises of the sojourning for the 430 years, and that more than half of that, or approximately half of that, had already taken place the land of Canaan, and that the family of promise was Isaac's family. So all of this would have been known and celebrated and delighted in by Jethro. He was a priest of God from the age of the patriarchs, but the age of the patriarchs was coming to a close at Sinai in the coming chapters. In fact, as soon as Jethro leaves. And so he performs his priestly function one last time that we know of in the Bible. Jethro is a little bit like Melchizedek. He offers a sacrifice. He serves the sacrificial meal. They don't just eat bread. In verse 12, Moses and Aaron and the elders of Israel eat bread with Jethro before God. It's a sacrificial, sacramental meal in verse 12. And he offers that worship in response to especially the deliverance from Egypt, and that God has continued to be the God who saved them from Egypt. He has continued to be that kind of God to them, continued in that sort of relation with them since he left. So they've had hardships along the way. Moses tells him about that in verse 8, but Yahweh had delivered them even from the hardships. We just had the end of chapter 18, the Amalekites. And so in response to, A, the great salvation by which God had delivered this church, and B, that God has continued to give them other deliverances according to the pattern, Jethro blesses the name of Yahweh. And Jethro said, verse 9, Jethro rejoiced for all the good that Yahweh had done for Israel. And Jethro said, blessed be Yahweh. He starts their worship. Now I know that Yahweh is greater than all gods. From the very thing in which they behave proudly, he was above them. He preaches tiny little sermon, 10-second sermon in verse 11. It may have been longer than that. We might just have a summary. You can read the main idea line over a sermon outline, I hope, well, in 10 seconds. If someone asks you, what did your dad preach yesterday? You might repeat that line, and it takes you 10 or 11 seconds or maybe less. And you're summarizing a long sermon. The Bible tells us those things sometimes. That might actually be what's going on in verse 11. And then they have the sacrifice that looks forward to the coming of the Christ and his atonement. And for them would have reminded them, of course, of the Passover that they had just 3 months ago. And that looking forward to Christ as well. And then after the sacrifice, they eat their bread. He holds a worship service. He holds a worship service that embraces God according to God's pattern of for how we should rejoice over God's once for all salvation in Jesus, which the deliverance of that church was the way that church started. The cross and resurrection and Pentecost is how the church of Jesus has started. And also, we respond to God with that worship because of his many deliverances and kindnesses to us that have continued ever since, that come in the same love and participate in the same salvation that God accomplished in the death and resurrection, ascension, session of Jesus and his pouring out the Spirit at Pentecost. And so Jethro is a reminder to us here of what Jesus will be like in his priesthood. Jethro is a priest, lowercase b. Jesus is the priest, capital P. And he is always leading us and the public worship, or when we gather as a family to God through him in the family worship, is always leading us in response, announcing to us, God has saved. God is merciful. God is worthy of praise. Blessed be the name of Yahweh, for this is what he has done, not only once and for all, but also in the continual deliverances and helpings throughout our walk with him. He continues to demonstrate himself to be God worthy of praise, just as he had demonstrated himself over against the Egyptian gods as well. And so, if Jethro led the people of Israel, who were coming now to the end of the patriarchal period and into the Sinai covenant, the rejoicing over God and blessing his name, and if that was a pattern for Aaron, especially, who's mentioned here in verse 12, for his job as a priest to lead Israel by this new rule of worship that was being given, in rejoicing over and the praise of God for his deliverance, then how much more do we know that Jesus leads us according in to his priesthood and the new rules of worship that belong to his church and his age of the church, and we should rejoice over God, see the greatness of his salvation, know that the deliverances along the way until he brings us all the way home are further examples and reminders of his great once-for-all deliverance. Find ourselves being led by him in fellowship with God as we worship God through the ordinances that God has given us in the age of the priesthood of Jesus. We're coming tomorrow, on the Lord's Day, to worship God as led by Christ. And we should see the praiseworthiness of our God, the greatness of our salvation, and how he has been to us all of our life long, the same God of the same love and the same power and the same salvation as he was at Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection, so that we will rejoice over him and bless his name and declare his praise and have fellowship with him in all the parts of his worship. Lord, help us to do so, not just tomorrow on the Lord's Day, since he's given us this portion of his word together in anticipation, every time we are gathered to him under the priesthood of Jesus, that we would worship him that way. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have given us not Jethro or Aaron, but even your Son, our Lord Jesus, to be our great high priest. Thank you that you have given us not only your preservation at the garden and your promises to Abraham and deliverance from the Exodus in Egypt, but you have given us the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now gone into the Holy of Holies in heaven, so that the deliverance is the everlasting deliverance from our sins. And the place of the worship is really glory with him as our high priest. And, O Lord, we pray that your same Spirit who gladdened saints of old and other ages of the church to rejoice over your salvation, that that same Spirit would now grant to us under the leadership of Jesus in our worship to rejoice over your salvation, to bless your name, to declare your praise and your power, and to have fellowship with you through the sacrifice of Christ that has atoned for and consecrated the worship that he leads. Help us, O God, for you have been so merciful to us to make us to live in the age when Jesus is priest, and we have so poorly appreciated and followed our priest as he leads us in worship. We need your Spirit to be our companion and give to our hearts from Christ and his joy and his life and his love. Grant it, we pray, in his name. Amen.